This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We just beat ourselves. You know, we had a lot of, I had a lot of mistakes. On my behalf, three turnovers. That shouldn't happen. But, you know, they came out to play. You know, we just started off slow. You just got to do better next time. But moving forward, get ready for this offseason.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Lamar Jackson. He handled himself pretty well at the end of the game in the news conference, but I don't know about the actual game itself. It was a very surprising result. And we are delighted to welcome in Aditi Kinkabala from the NFL Network. She joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Aditi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay. You know, we're kind of in Chicago, so we're on the outside looking in. And
But does that make you happy that the Packers win, or do you hate that the Packers win?
There's more hate than anything else probably for the Packers in Chicago right now.
Yeah.
A lot of jealousy, a lot of envy.
But we want them to get right there and then have it pulled out from under them, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I spend a ton of time in the AFC North and I happen to live in Pittsburgh, and I can't tell you how excited all the Cleveland fans and Steelers fans were that the Ravens went down so ingloriously. I mean, it was like they were happier to see the Ravens lose than they would have been to actually be there themselves.
Wow.
That's interesting because you used the word inglorious. I can't argue with that. That Titans team is really extraordinary given, you know, what the running backs managed to do a couple of games in a row. But if you just looked at talent, if you just talked about how good individual players are, I think you would want to be on Baltimore's side in that argument. And yet, I don't know if it's the quarterback and the issues early. I don't know if it's the coach. But they didn't seem like they were especially prepared, and they certainly, you know, turning the ball over a few times and failing on fourth and one a couple of times is a recipe for disaster.
Well, sure, and all of that was uncharacteristic in the way that they've played. But so a few things that you're saying right there that let's unpack. One, I think in the NFL that we have learned, it is not about the talent, it is about the collective. If you look at the five, 6 years, the Patriots have not been the most talented team. One could even argue that their quarterback, who may go down as the greatest of all time, is not the most talented quarterback. It's just that team always played the best team football, the best complementary football. Whatever it was, they did what they needed to do. I mean, I'll bring up the Steelers again, simply because I live in Pittsburgh. For 5 years, the Steelers had a future Hall of Fame quarterback, arguably the best receiver in the game, arguably one of the top two running backs in the game, arguably a top three offensive line, and a defense littered with first-round picks, and they have absolutely nothing to show for it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. They had one trip to the AFC title game, and that's it. So talent only gets you so far. That's one thing. Two, the Ravens were completely out of character. This is not a team that is built to have what turned into really a three-week bye, because a lot of the stars rested week 17. Then they had a bye. They were off for quite a bit. They had so much momentum going. This is a team that kind of needed to play right away, a team that loves being the underdog and being doubted. That's what they sort of carried all year. It's very different to be the favorite. There's a lot of distractions at home. As it is, there were a lot of distractions in that city. And also, this isn't a team that faced any adversity. You know, I was looking it up as I was sitting in the press box on Saturday night, and they haven't even been challenged, really. They haven't had even a remotely tough game since week 13 when the 49ers came in. And they never faced a 2-touchdown deficit
Right.
Since week four.
After losing week four. Yeah. So week four they lost, and then never again were they down by two touchdowns. And they were only down by one touchdown when the other team scored on the opening drive and they hadn't gotten the ball yet. So it's they never faced a deficit. How do you know how to overcome a hole? How do you know how to gut out a tough win if you've never actually gutted out a tough win?
That's a good point.
There was that. Yeah. And then I'll say one more thing. I think Greg Roman went away from the run game way too fast. You know, this is what that team does. This is what that team's bread and butter is. Yes, there were a couple of uncharacteristic things early. The interception that went off of somebody's hand, a fourth and one didn't work, and they've been really good on fourth and one. But that doesn't mean you go away from what you do really well. Suddenly they were throwing on first and second down, and that's not who they are.
So Lamar Jackson will be the presumptive MVP, and obviously we know why. We've seen enough of him now. He's only 23, but he also has not won a playoff game, and those two things, you know, he'll hear about for the next 8 months or so. How would you describe the way he handled it post-game, and what do you think this does to his perception?
You know, the whole perception thing makes me crazy. Baker Mayfield hasn't even been to the playoffs. Sam Darnold hasn't even gone to the playoffs. Josh Allen hasn't won. Wait, did he win? No, Josh Allen hasn't won a playoff game either. You know, like, at least the kid got there. It took Drew Brees, I think, 6 years. It took Peyton Manning 6 years. It took a lot of quarterbacks a long time to get their first playoff win. It feels to me like Lamar Jackson is a guy that people just love to rip on. I mean, I cannot think of a young man who has entered the league who has faced so much doubt and denigration for what? Because he plays the game differently? I mean, this isn't a guy who's posing shirtless. This isn't a guy who's getting in a fight every week with some other media member. This isn't a guy that's going on social media acting the fool. I mean, all he's doing is playing the game differently than anybody else has ever played it. He is really, truly, guys, when I say this, he is a humble, humble guy. He works, he hears all the negativity, but it's kind of a quiet burn. Like, he makes a quiet note of it, he packs it away in his pocket, and he goes to work. And so, I'll tell you, I mean, clearly he is a totally different player this year than he was a year ago. That loss to the Chargers burned at him, and this one I think will burn even more. They're not going anywhere. The Ravens aren't going anywhere. He has to develop as a passer. He certainly has to. They have to develop as a team. They need better wide receivers. You know, they need guys to make some tough catches for them. They need to definitely grow, but it's not like this was a flash in the pan, a one-year wonder. And all these people saying, oh, you know, he's been figured out. No, they played badly, and the Titans play playoff football. The Titans play the best type of football that you need to play in the month of January. It is run the ball at will, and play solid defense. You know, I love, and I keep going, and I'm sorry, zoning out here.
You're doing great.
I love when a team says, we're going to run the ball, you know we're going to run the ball, but we are still going to run the ball on you. It's like, I don't care that you know what we're going to do, we're still going to do it. And that's like, man on man, they knew that Derrick Henry was getting the ball, and they couldn't stop him. It makes me think of, like, football back in, in the 80s.
Yeah, he is just so good, and it's been so much fun to watch him. I would imagine, though, that the fine folks over at Fox are worried that they're going to continue somehow, and that they would actually beat the Chiefs. That would ruin their Super Bowl presentation.
Yeah, I don't know that I see that one happening.
Yeah, I don't either. But I do think that the way they play, you know, the physical style they play, would have beaten the Chiefs in previous years before they toughened up on defense.
I mean, certainly the Chiefs defense has really evolved quite a bit. But look at that. You know, it's yesterday. They were in that massive hole, and Twitter is going crazy. Oh, they're done. They're done. And what are we going to do? And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Take a breath here, because this offense can literally score. I mean, I did say this to somebody. I'm like, look, they can score three touchdowns in a quarter. I was wrong. They can score three touchdowns in 3 minutes. And like, I grew up a Knicks fan, and it makes me think of Reggie Miller scoring, I don't know, 20 points in 8 seconds and breaking my heart. But I mean, that's what they are. It's like Patrick Mahomes is Reggie Miller. And so, and they have, now that they experienced that, they know they can do it. You know, like, this is a club that doesn't get down. Like, oh, we're in a 24-point hole? Who cares? You know? And so, like, it's the same thing that I'm saying about the Ravens. It's like once you've done it, once you've gutted out a tough win, you expect to be able to do it again.
So, Aditi, I love the Chiefs and everything Mahomes represents, too, and I think they're as explosive as we've seen in recent years. And yet, I didn't give the Titans a chance against the Patriots. I didn't really think they could sustain that approach against the Ravens. I don't want to rule them out against the Chiefs, even though logic says to, they still have Derrick Henry, they still have that offensive line. Do you give them a shot?
I mean, sure. Why not? I think that this is I sound like such an old person when I say this, but as much as this has become this passing Madden-type league, I still believe that if you can run the ball at will and if you can play great defense, you always have a chance. And right now the Titans they're hot when they need to be. They've won on the road in New England, which is one of the hardest places to win. They've knocked off the number one seed also on the road. This time of year, sometimes it's just about getting hot. You know, like think about the Giants in 2011 backing into the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, not backing in, but they needed to win Christmas against the Jets. They needed to beat the Cowboys Sunday night, week 17. They did, and all of a sudden they're on a run and they win the Super Bowl. Think about, you know, the Steelers also as a wild card team. You know, like, I think the Packers did it as a wild card team, too.
Yes.
I probably shouldn't say that to you guys. Sorry.
No, but, we were there.
Yeah, we saw that.
You know,
we remember.
Like, that's what you need. You need to get hot at the right time.
So I think you just predicted the Titans were going to win the Super Bowl, right?
No. You know what? Like, very personally, and it's funny because when you're in sports, and you're supposed to be, of course, an impartial, unbiased journalist, and the way you do your job, sure you are, but we're all humans. We all have biases. And I'll say that I would love personally to see Andy Reid get there, and I would love to see Andy Reid win. I think he is a unbelievably classy gentleman. I think that he is a hell of a coach, and I think he has suffered enormously in his life. And it would be wonderful to see him win.
We were talking about this earlier, that if you look at the coaches, you know, Vrabel and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur, they have a combined 6 years of head coaching experience, and Andy's been doing it for 21. And he, you know, the one thing on his resume that's missing is obviously a Super Bowl. He's been to one with Philadelphia, but he's never won one. And, you know, that I think that is that will make him a sentimental favorite. But people like the idea of fresh blood and new things and different. And I think
That's what we're seeing in Cleveland right now, right? That he's hiring these young, unproven coaches, and no one is saying that they can't do it, or that they're not, you know, obviously Matt LaFleur has done it. Kyle Shanahan has done it. Now, Sean McVay, these are men that have put in a lot of time to get where they are. But you look at particular rosters and the way they're made up, and perhaps there are some teams that could use that older voice that, you know, I hate to say, it's such a fleeting thing. It's so hard to win in the NFL. So you don't want to sit here and say, oh, Kyle Shanahan has time. Oh, Matt LaFleur has time. But all these guys are in their 30s, you know, like their best days are still ahead of them. They've got long, long, long careers ahead of them. Who knows how long Andy Reid is going to coach? And that sort of speaks to it that, look, he's been in the profession for decades. He hasn't had that team to get him there on the precipice, you know, and so I don't know. You're right. I do think he's a sentimental favorite. I do think that also Patrick Mahomes is an easy guy to root for.
Right.
I think that, you know, it would be fun. And it's a fun offense to watch. And I think of a little story a few years ago. Maybe you remember the Eagles had what was being dubbed the Dream Team. There was Michael Vick and Vince Young and, you know, all this talent. And everybody was like, oh, the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles. And then they started the season terribly. I don't remember exactly. Maybe it was 0-5, something like that. And they were getting ready to play the Giants. And the Giants had been playing well. And Tom Coughlin starts talking about the Eagles. And, you know, most coaches every week, they'll say, oh, we're facing the 86 Bears, even if you aren't. But Tom Coughlin was very adamant. This Eagles team is way better than anybody realizes, and they haven't won yet, but this, and this. And Andy Reid is about as fine of a coach, and this is what Andy Reid does well as a coach. And it just, you know, from Tom Coughlin, it didn't sound like BS. It was very legitimate. So then we had a conference call with Andy Reid. And I repeated to Coach Reid, I said, hey, you know, Tom Coughlin said this about your team. And guys, think about how much coaches hate each other, how competitive they are, how passionate they are. Andy Reid goes silent. He very clearly chokes up a little bit. And then he says, and you can hear the emotion in his voice, he says, Tom Coughlin is a good man. That is about as good of a man as there is in the NFL. Now, you've got the Eagles and the Giants. This is, I mean, this is like Packers and Bears, you know? Like, you're supposed to hate each other. You're supposed to be sworn enemies. And here these coaches are, you know, really being very respectful of each other. Andy Reid chokes up. And then Andy Reid's Eagles did beat the Giants that weekend. They, you know, somewhat got back on track. But I will forever remember that this big, tough football coach, Andy Reid, was essentially brought, you know, choked up in hearing the respect from one of his colleagues. And then fast forward, I was telling John Harbaugh this story a few years later because he was talking about how he hates everyone. He hates Mike Tomlin. He hates Marvin Lewis. He even hates his brother Jim sometimes, you know, whatever. And I said, well, you know, Tom Coughlin and Andy Reid have this. And he said, they're probably the only men in the NFL who would be like that. And he thought, you know, and remember, he worked for Andy Reid, and he was just talking about what a man Andy Reid is. And then you think about, you know, how he lost his son and what he's been through and being run out of Philly. And, you know, here right now I sound like I'm totally in the bag for the Chiefs, which I'm not. But,
no,
you know,
good point.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Aditi, thanks a ton.
Thank you,
really
Aditi.
Appreciate your time. Oh, great catching up.
Did I show my time? Did I go way too long?
No, you're fine.
No, no. We're just going short. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.